الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعض فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم If you look at the life of a student, one of the big stresses upon them are exams. And students are always worried about exams. You can even think of it that, you know, their life is bouncing from exam to exam. So obviously a student means that they're taking classes, and when they take classes, they go to class on the first day. And from the very first day, the teacher tells them that, you know, there's going to be this exam and a final exam and a midterm. And this is the percentage of each exam and how much it's going to be part of your grade. And so students are always under the stress of an exam. That's the nature of a student. But the stress differs depending on the student. So everybody's under stress, but that stress differs depending on the student. For example, there's one student that doesn't prepare at all. They just don't prepare. So they sit in class, they kind of pay attention, they kind of don't pay attention. And when the exams are coming, they know there's an exam coming, but they don't really give much importance to the exam. They show up in class, and then the exam is given, and they kind of try to write something, but they know that they don't even know what they're supposed to write. So they turn the exam in, and their stress is that they're worried that they're going to fail. So they have a whole different kind of stress. Then there's a student that makes an effort. The student studies, they make an effort, they review, they try. Maybe they don't, you know, give 100%, but they care. And their stress is that, you know, at least I should get a decent grade. And they try to get a good grade, but their stress is that at least I should get a decent grade. Then there's a top student. These are the students that study everything. And it's funny because one of the stresses that arises in the top student, you know, the one who recognizes that there's an exam, gives an importance to the exam, gives an importance to the class, one of the stress that arises in the top students is that they worry that something will come on the exam that they didn't prepare for. So, for example, teacher says that lesson 10.1, 10.2, and 10.3 will be on the exam. And they look at the chapter and they see there's a 10.4 and a 10.5. Now, when they're preparing, they start worrying. That did the teacher say 10.3 or did the teacher include 10.4? Is 10.4 going to be on the exam? They pick up the phone, they call their friend. Do you remember if 10.4 is going to be on the exam? And maybe they can confirm that it's not going to be on the exam. Maybe if they're not able to confirm that it's not going to be on the exam, they end up just studying it anyway. So they have a stress because they're relatively prepared, because they're putting in their time and energy, etc. They have a stress that maybe they didn't prepare properly. Maybe they didn't prepare properly for the exam. They know the exam, they know the importance of the exam, but they're worried that they didn't prepare properly for the exam. SubhanAllah, the examples of the students are very similar to the example of the Muslim and their relation to deen. Because essentially what happens is that when a Muslim is born, one of the very early things they're told in this class of life is that this is an exam. Just like when you go to class the first day and they tell you that this is the topic and there's going to be these and these and these exams, the moment that a Muslim becomes mature, you know, outside of childhood, they reach the age of puberty, they become mature, they are told that now life is an exam. They're supposed to be told this, that you've got to pray, you've got to fast, you've got to, you know, eventually, obviously, they have to go for Hajj. So now these responsibilities come on them, and they're reminded that each of these is like a quiz, and that there's a final exam, and that on the final exam, that will be on the Day of Judgment, when you're, this book of life that people write will either be given to them in their right hand or their left hand. And the way that the students respond to exam and class is the same type of setup that you have with people in deen. There's one person just heedless. They're kind of just being bounced around, just like the student in class who just bounces from one class to the next class to the next class, not even thinking where they are, but just because they're supposed to be there. And they have no clue. They're just, life is just throwing them around. One day they wake up and they're here, the next day they wake up and they're there. They can't figure out why they went from place A to place B. They know there's an exam. They've heard that there's an exam. They're thinking in the back of their mind, you know, on occasion if you remind them that there's an exam, they can be reminded, but there's no hope. They just haven't prepared, and they can't prepare because they're just, that's just not who they are. They just don't get it. So there's like, that's exactly one person in the class. That the way that you see those people in class is exactly the way we find those people in life. And many of us are from amongst them. We know there's an exam, we just keep bouncing around. We bounce from place to place, we bounce from thing to thing, we bounce from, you know, energy, from one pursuit to the next pursuit. And we know there's an exam, but we just don't grasp the reality of that exam. We just can't get ourselves to get beyond the you know, point of just mundane life. So that's one example of the person in their relation to this test of life. Now then there's a second person, they kind of get it. They make an effort, but it's a really half-hearted effort. Definitely more can be done, but it's just, you know, they're just limited. They're just trying to get by. And, you know, we find many of us find ourselves in the exact same boat. You know, each prayer is a quiz, but it's like we barely can do it. Each fast is a quiz, and we're barely hanging on. Each test of life that arises, you know, we know what we should do, but we just can't get ourselves to cross that hump. And then there's the person who is actually striving. Just like the student is striving. And they're thinking about everything that they do, and they're worrying that what if this is on my exam? That's the type of people that we should aim to be. That's the type of people, those are the people of piety that came before us. What's their circumstance? They give everything they have, and afterwards they wonder whether they gave enough. You know, historically, if you look in our deen, historically people would donate so much of their wealth towards deen. And after that, they would not be bragging. They would be worried, what if 10.4 comes on the exam? I gave half. What if I should have given 51%? What if that's asked of me? That's the type of attitude that the truest believer always has. They pray a prayer, and they don't say to themselves, okay, I got 10.1 and 10.2. They worry about, where was 10.3? Why was my prayer not deeper? Why was I thinking about other things? Why didn't I have khushu' in my prayer? Why wasn't I able to focus on what I was reciting? Why wasn't I able to imagine that I was praying before Allah? That's the attitude of the believer. And then, that's what they think about the quiz. What happens when they think about the Day of Judgment? They get paralyzed. That's why the most pious people in the community are the ones that are always the most worried about their akhirah. It should have been the other way, right? It should have been that first group that's just bouncing around and not able to prepare for the exam should have been the most worried about their akhirah. But that's not the way it works. Just like those students are never the most worried about the final, you know, the people who worry about the final are not the people who are failing. They're failing. The people who are freaking out about the final are the highest ones, the highest achievers. And it's funny because when the final's over, The way that you know who did the best is the one who walks out and says, I failed. The one who, you know, the top student, when they take their exam, they tend to walk out and they say, I failed. And you know they didn't fail. You know they got the highest score in the class. But the reason they think they failed is because they don't see the 40 questions they got right. They see the 41st question and they think they got it wrong. They're so fixated on that that they think they got it wrong. There was a person who came to me. I've shared this story before. There was a person who came to me. I was teaching a review class for medical review class for a board exam. And this person came to me. And we were teaching, I was teaching the class. It was a long class. And it was going on for weeks. And I was teaching hours a day. And I was prepping them for the exam. Midway, like, you know, three-fourths of the way through the class, this one student who always sat in the front, he disappeared for a couple days. So he disappeared, and then he came back. And after he came back, you know, I missed him because he wasn't there. And I was used to him sitting there. So I said to him, where'd you go? He said, yo, you know, I took the exam. I said, what? You took the exam in the middle of the class? We're not even done with the review class. He's like, yeah. But, you know, I have this deadline, and I needed to meet this deadline. So I took the exam. So I said, how did it go? He said, I crushed it. So I said, there's two possibilities. Either you really crushed it, or you totally failed it. You just don't know what you were looking at. You just thought you crushed it. So what happened? He comes, calls me up, you know, 6 weeks later when he gets a score, and he said, you know, Dr. Sitar, I failed it. I said, I'm not surprised. You can't go in there thinking I'm going to crush this. You were so confident always in the class, thinking I know this. That's not the mark of a person who crushes an exam. The sign of the person who is the top student is they're the ones that always say, I failed. Because they're so fixated on the few things that they didn't know that they're scared to death, despite the fact that they know 95% of the material. And it's funny because, you know, people who study it, you look at them and they're like studying. And you look at them and say, isn't it enough? You know, like you did all this and this is not even, you know, this is not even that much material. They're so afraid of what they might not know. That's the sign of a good student in this world. That's the sign of a true believer in relation to the hereafter. They're never comfortable. They give something, they always think, but maybe I didn't give enough. They pray a prayer, and they always think it wasn't deep enough. A Ramadan passes, and they worry, what if Allah didn't accept? There's a famous incident in which, you know, people would be making labbaik before Hajj. At the time of Hajj, you have to, you know, obviously get into ihram, and they would be worried. Some people would say, you know, would put on ihram and begin to recite talbiyah, and they would pass out. And why would they pass out? Because they were worried that at that time of acceptance, Allah would not accept them for Hajj. You know, this attitude is so pervasive in the people of piety that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a statement to highlight to those people that they can't think that way. Meaning, in the case of Arafah, we know that when people go for Arafah, for Hajj, that they're all forgiven. Through Allah's mercy, everybody who shows up in Arafah is forgiven. So, what would the attitude of the most pious person be? Well, yeah, everybody was forgiven, but I wasn't forgiven because I'm the biggest sinner. I'm the worst of everybody. So Rasulullah ﷺ addressed that by saying that the only sin that a person can carry after they leave Arafah is to think that Allah did not forgive them. That would be the only sin that they could potentially carry after leaving Arafah. So that's always the attitude of the believer. Person sits down and makes istighfar. When they're done making istighfar, they're not patting themselves on the back and saying, Alhamdulillah, I made my 100 istighfar. When they're done making istighfar, as I mentioned, you know, in Ramadan, they make istighfar for their istighfar. That, ya Allah, I didn't even make my istighfar correctly. I don't even know how to properly seek forgiveness from you. That's always the attitude of the believer. And that is the thing that should be pervasive within us. If we give something in the path of Allah, whether that be our time, whether that be our wealth, whether that be our aspirations, it should always be that I did not give what I could. That's the sign. That's the sign. You know, the person who gives a big amount in tzedakah, they never feel comfortable. They always think, but I still left something behind. What if I'm asked about that? What if I regret that? That's the attitude of the believer. That is the way that a person succeeds in anything that they do. They're never satiated. These guys who are billionaires, these hedge fund managers, they run these big companies, etc., they're never happy. They think they have nothing because they're not counting the $5 billion they have. They're worried about the $6 billion that they're going to get. That's how you become that type of person. Now, obviously, that's a dunyawi example, and it's a sign of the people who are seeking excess in this world. But it is a common characteristic in the people who exceed and succeed. It is a common characteristic. Person has a little bit of knowledge, they never feel comfortable, they want more. Person's memorized a little bit of Quran, they never feel comfortable, they want more. Person has spent their life doing a few good things, they always have their eye on the things that could potentially trip them up. The sins that everybody carries. That's the attitude of the believer. That's the attitude of the people of success. We should be sitting and we should be weeping over our sins, not celebrating our successes. We should be sitting and weeping over our sins, not celebrating our successes. I'm telling you, these are the things that should wake us up in the middle of the night. How we spent our day and why we didn't do it better. How little sadaqah we give. How little time we spend on deen. You know, what if there was a test and we prepared for the test and everything that we prepared for, all the other stuff is on it? It's possible. You know, we take all our energy and we apply it towards dunya. What if all of that's a deception on the Day of Judgment? You know, all these things that we thought that were important, what if all of that's a deception? And then we're sitting and thinking, we prepared for A, the whole test was on B. You know, it's funny, like in geometry, I was just looking at geometry recently. Like, you know, there's this theorem, this theorem, this theorem, this theorem. And I'm sitting and thinking, like, as I'm going over the class notes with my son, that, okay, so like these four theorems, but and he's strong on the fifth one, maybe we need to work on a little bit. But what if the whole test is the fifth one? Obviously, the whole test is never the fifth theorem. Right? In fact, they usually put the easier stuff on because everybody's got to pass the test. But that's the way that we think when we worry about excelling. So in deen, we should be particular about that. That, fine, I did a few good things. I'm a Muslim, big deal. But what if I'm asked about this and this and this? What if everything that I thought was preparation actually turns out to be deception and the real preparation was that? What if, you know, we pat ourselves on the back that we're so high and we're so educated and we've achieved this and achieved that and we have this salary and we bought this. What if all of that means nothing? And that we just deceived one another to think that it meant something. People looked up to me, I looked up to them, we patted each other on the back, we went to dinners, we donated a little bit, and the reality was someplace else. The reality was some other angle of deen that we totally mistook. We're banking on something, aren't we? Every day we play a game. We're playing. It's all percentages. It's all a gamble. But we're playing with akhirah. Every day we wake up, we make decisions, and those decisions are in our hands. What if the decisions that we've made aren't real? What if there's a whole other reality that hasn't yet hit us? Isn't this what happens to the people when they go to the grave? What's the first thing that people think when they go to the grave? The moment they pass from this life to the next, the first complaint, I wish I could go back, I would do what I should have done, what I should have been doing. Particularly in the case of sadaqah. I would go back and give sadaqah. It's an ayah of Quran. I mean, now, what more do you have to know, right? What more do you have to know about the test? If I said to you that, let me just give you this example. There's a class, it's Algebra 1. And I say to the students the day before the exam, when you come out of the exam, you're all going to wish that you had studied quadratic equations better. So now, when the quadratic equations show up all over the test, whose fault is it? Whose fault is it then? Right? If our kids say, but I didn't know they were going to be on there, but you told me the day before your teacher said it's going to be on there, we blame the kids. But when it comes to us, we don't blame anyone. We know what the test is. It's totally clean and clear. We've already been told the questions. We've already been told that the person who comes out of the test is going to regret this question on the test. So now what's left? The only thing left is to point a finger at ourselves. Allah has made everything clear. And Rasulullah ﷺ brought the message and made it abundantly obvious. It wasn't hidden. It wasn't some sort of subtle message. It wasn't encrypted. It's clear, crystal clear. And example after example is before us. And now we look at ourselves. What are we focused on? We have to ask that question. We have to ask that question today, because that question will show up on the exam tomorrow. You know what's on the exam? You have to review that question. Teacher says, here's the exam. Study it. You're going to see the same exam tomorrow. You know the questions. The questions are going to be, you got this much wealth. How did you spend it? You had this much youth. How did you use it? These are the questions. Nobody has to wonder what they're going to be. Nobody has to sit and say, I wonder what I'm going to be asked on the day of judgment. I know what I'm going to be asked on the day of judgment. Now, because a bunch of people sit together and smile and pat each other on the back and create what they call society, and society has its own, has its own things that they focus on, doesn't necessarily change the exam. You know, if a bunch of people say, oh, the exam's not going to be hard, that doesn't make the exam easy. If a bunch of people are sitting in class in high school and all of them convince each other that the exam is not going to be hard, that's not going to change the exam. It's not going to make it any easier. Because a bunch of people sit together and make a decision that actually what's important is the pursuit of dunya, and that the more dunya I have, the more people are going to respect me. That doesn't change the exam. That's the deception of the students. That is not a question of the exam. The exam's crystal clear. So we know what the exam is. We have the blessing of being told what the exam is. We know that we're going to be asked about some very few specific questions. We have that benefit. So now if we don't pass, or worse yet, if we fail, then whose fault is it? These are the things that should wake us up in the middle of the night. These are the things that should wake us up in the middle of the night. We should ask these questions today. We should not regret the questions tomorrow. We should think, what's important and how do I achieve it? What needs to be focused on and how do I turn my attention to it? What has Allah given me and how do I spend it for deen? And I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about energy. I'm talking about ability. Every ability that we use for something, it has a consequence. We need to ask those questions today, because we will be asked about that tomorrow. This is something that every person in this room has to understand. It is the premise of our deen. It is the message of every prophet that has come before our prophet. It is a continuum. It is a continuum. It's a nothing new. It is the dominance of history. Religious history for us in the perspective of deen. So today is that opportunity, and we should, because we are students who care, these are the things that should wake us up. We prepared 15.1, we prepared 15.2, but what if 15.3, 15.4, and 15.5 are on the exam? That's the attitude that we have to have. That's what leads to success. That's the sign of the believer. They're always asking the question, what more can I do? They're always asking the question, what if this shows up on the exam? They're always asking the question, how can I ensure that I don't put myself in the hole? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those whose eyes are open to the reality of this life. May He make us amongst those who are focused on the exam and the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.